Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
After Bears games, we talked to Boomer Esiason at 3 o'clock. He gave us the line, the more you see of Chase Daniel, the less you're going to like. Boom, I've got to be honest. I was applying that logic to Mitch Trubisky yesterday.
Yeah, well, good afternoon, guys. I'm sorry it has to be under these circumstances. But I will say that, you know, it's the end of the season's a long way away, and a lot of things can happen. Here's what my takeaway from yesterday is probably very much along the lines of where you guys have probably been dealing with your fans and everything today. The Bears got their asses kicked yesterday. They got their asses handed to them. The defensive and offensive lines of the New Orleans Saints just absolutely ran roughshod over them. As far as throwing 54 passes when you're down and you can't run the ball a lick, you might as well throw the football. And for me, even though it was garbage time at the end of the game, the more Mitch Trubisky can throw, the better it's going to be long-term for the Bears, if in fact he's going to be the long-term solution. Oddly enough, what this reminds me of right now, where we sit with the Bears and with Mitch, and I know Mitch was playing with a harness yesterday. He's coming off of a dislocated left shoulder. Every time he got hit, I guarantee you that it was like electric bolt going through his body, and I give him credit for being out on the field. Now, however, it reminds me a lot, and when I say this, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm just trying to give you a perspective of where I think Matt Nagy is with his quarterback. He's with Mitch right now where the Jacksonville Jaguars were with Blake Bortles. And we all know how that turned out, and we know what that looked like, and we all knew that it was going to be a struggle on offense. And it's unfortunate because I think Mitch is a really good kid, but I thought Troy Aikman was spot on yesterday with a couple of the analysis of the throws that Mitch couldn't make. And he had just come off of a game on Thursday night where he watched Joe Flacco miss and look lethargic, and it looked like he didn't really care for the Denver Broncos. So his analysis was spot on. When you have opportunities to make plays downfield, you got to hit those opportunities. And all the great ones do it, and they do it consistently week in and week out. And I think last night or yesterday was an indication that he's still rusty. He's not nearly as polished as he needs to be, especially where he is in his career, especially with an offensive head coach. And, you know, they could have ran the ball 33 times yesterday, guys. You know what that would have led to? That would have led to 11 three and outs and 11 punts. They couldn't run the ball a lick either, as the offensive line is really struggling. They're struggling in the run blocking, struggling in the pass blocking. And right now, Matt Nagy may take all the blame on his own shoulders and everything else, and that's a nice thing for a coach to do. But when I see this, I see an offense that is absolutely one of the worst in the league right now.
He called 7 runs yesterday, and I know the offensive line is bad, and we don't know what we got in David Montgomery, but I see coaches try to make life easy on young quarterbacks by continuing to slam it in there. Norv Turner does it. They did it in Indianapolis yesterday. Marlon Mack wasn't getting going. You saw the game. But they kept slamming it in there to make life easy for Jacoby Brissett. I'm stunned by this guy's reluctance to at least have the constitution to run it 15 times a game. Yesterday, he didn't get the double digits.
Well, you know, I think, you know, when he's on the field and he's watching his team and he's watching his running backs, you know, getting stopped at the line of scrimmage and fumbling, you know, David Montgomery needs to learn how to become a professional running back. I think I told you this last week about him, or 2 weeks ago, that, you know, fumbling and, you know, giving up on the first hit is not the way that you carry yourself as a running back in a league. You gotta put your head down. You gotta make the quick decision, and you gotta go, and you gotta protect the football. I know that he does not want to call 54 passes. I know it looks ridiculous, especially, you know, most of those pass attempts came late in the fourth quarter when they were finally getting first downs. Time of possession tells you everything. And I do believe that it was over 37 minutes. So much like the Colts did to the Chiefs on a Thursday night 2 weeks ago, the Saints did to the Bears yesterday. And one of the reasons that, you know, that you're able to do that is because both your offensive and defensive lines are just not controlling the line of scrimmage. You could say whatever you want about the NFL and quarterbacks and wide receivers and everything else. It all comes down to who's got the badass defensive and offensive line. And, you know, when the Bears won the Super Bowl back in 85, they were a badass defense. They assaulted opposing teams' quarterbacks. And this defense, I thought going into the season, was going to be like that. Now, this week they weren't like that. And I don't know if it's just that they – I guess the Saints are just that good and that talented that they were overrun. And I think Matt Nagy recognized that during the game and tried to open it up and try to put more on Mitch. But maybe Mitch is just not ready for it yet. I can see the struggle. I see it, and I can feel it for Matt as he's calling plays. And I can see it in Mitch's frustrated face on the field. And I can see the grinding of trying not to make a mistake as opposed to just – letting it loose and letting it go. And, you know, I don't know where they go from here. It's not like you can just flip a switch and Walter Payton's going to come walking through that door. That's not going to happen. So they can only play with what they have. They can do a minor tweak here, a minor tweak there. But, you know, when they play teams that they need to be better than, they have to assault the opposing team's offense, get turnovers, and give their offense a short field to work on.
Boomer, of all of the failed quarterback comps that you could have made, why do you choose Blake Bortles for this one?
You know, because they seem to be like the same type of guy. You know, they're passionate. They love playing. They run around a little bit, but they just I think Blake. You know, Blake was also inaccurate. Blake never really ever felt comfortable down in Jacksonville. You know, there are reasons why quarterbacks. You know, for whatever. You know, there are lots of reasons, but sometimes they just don't get it. Sometimes the pressure is too much sometimes. But, the problem is that Mitch looked like there was growth there last year, and I think I told you guys in the preseason that the Bears are only going to go as far as Mitch Trubisky takes them. Now, if he's hurt and he's not there, then he certainly can't do that. But I think he also probably felt pressure to get back under center with a harness on his left shoulder, which is not easy to play with, especially when you're throwing the ball 54 times. I know he cares. I know he's passionate, and I know he gets the whole Chicago vibe. You know, Bill Parcells used to say, you know, give me a quarterback that's going to be booed by his hometown fans. And, you know, in the midst of a four-game losing streak, somehow finds the will to win and take his team to victory in the fourth quarter of that fourth game and gets us out of that losing streak. And that could be my quarterback for an entire season. And I think that's where they are with Mitch right now. This is the reality of playing quarterback in today's NFL with social media and all the and all the eyes and all the criticisms that come along with high expectations. So, if you want to be paid $25 million a year, which I'm sure he would love to be paid that at some time in his career, he's got to fight through this like a man, and he's got to dig deep, and he's got to figure out how to get it right. And the more he throws, I think the better it is. And even if over the next 3 weeks, if we've talked about where he has thrown the ball over 100 times in extra weeks, I think I would be happy with that because you got to put more pressure on him. He's got to learn how to play. He's got to play through all of this. And if he's going to be worth anything, then, you know, these tough times where the fans are booing and the fans want you out of there and people are taking up funds to, you know, to buy out his contract and all the nonsense that goes on in this league these days. He's got to be a man, and he's got to fight through it. There's no other answer other than to get back on the practice field, to get back out there next week and prove to everybody that you can be a winner.
If he doesn't do that, if he's not good the next 10 weeks, you know, we got him back here.
Well, then you
got
to start looking.
Well, all right, that's what I wanted to ask you. Of the names that we kick around today, I'd love to know which ones you think are realistic and appealing. And Philip Rivers' name comes up. He's a free agent. Well, Marcus Mariota's name comes up.
Can we talk about that when the time comes, if the time comes?
Think it's salvageable? You think it's salvageable?
You still have 10 games left in the season or whatever. Nine games left in the season. You can't give up right now. There's no give up. Nobody can. Look, there are 31 other franchises. They're going to go on the field next week. Who do they play next week?
San Diego.
Yeah, the Chargers.
All right, the Chargers. They're going to go play L.A. They're going to have to beat the living crap out of the L.A. Chargers. That's what they're going to have to do, and that's the only way where it starts. You know, you can't give up in the middle of the season. You can't start thinking about next year if you're a player or a coach for that matter, or you won't be coaching and playing very long. So, you know, they're being pushed to the brink right now. Everybody in that locker room, not just Mitch, but everybody. And when you give up, over 100 yards to Latavius Murray, you get beat by Teddy Bridgewater, both backups, by the way. That means that there's something else wrong with the team other than just the quarterback. That means the defense all of a sudden fell flat, and maybe they were on the field too long. I don't know. Maybe that was the case. Maybe they're getting frustrated. Maybe they're getting tired of a lack of an offensive support. That, you know, all of this is where the coach comes in now. The coach has got to keep that team together. I like what he said after the game, you know, turn it all off, man. Turn the social media off. Turn the phones off. Don't read the papers. Don't read this, you know, don't get into Instagram and all this other crap because it's going to drive you crazy. And that's one thing I'm glad I never had when I played, because I would be fighting back left and right social media wise, and I'd put myself probably in a deeper hole than I was when I wasn't playing well.
And that's what two of his players did last night after the game.
Yeah, we've already got Tariq Cohen and Allen Robinson going back and forth with media members and blog posters on Twitter. You know, because it's very. I when I heard Matt Nagy say that as the millennial here in the conversation. It's really
stay off the Twitter and all that, and if you're going to do something like that, just wish somebody happy birthday.
It's really idealistic, but these guys don't know how to turn it off. They say don't read the comments. It's virtually impossible for the millennial athlete to not know what people are talking about them when it comes right to their phones.
I know it. I know, you know, and you and I and us guys, we work in you know, sports talk radio. Back in the day, that was the only villain. We were the only villains.
Exactly.
You know, I'm on the dark side. I'm on the dark side now, by the way. So, you know, and I sit here and I sit and I have to criticize, whether it be the Jets, the Giants, the Knicks, the Nets, the Yankees, the Mets, the Rangers, the Islanders, the Devils. It goes on, and it never stops. But the spoken word is not nearly, I think, as biting and as, I guess, as deep cutting as some of the social media words that are out there, especially from people, you know, who are anonymous and or going under some other names. So I wish you could just tell the millennials, put the phone down and put the social media and turn it off and just focus in on what you can do and what you can do best. And that's, you know, that's really a simplistic message. But there's one guy in this league that for the last 20 years has carried the same message. And his team never or very rarely ever gets in trouble via social media, and that's Bill Belichick. And those guys listen when they go to New England. I don't know why, but they do. And I think a lot of that has to do with 6 Super Bowl rings and the way that he conducts his business up there. And it's too bad other coaches and other owners can't follow that roadmap to get their players to buy into the simplistic idea of don't let the outside in our locker room. Don't let them see you sweat. But unfortunately, younger players are going to get caught up in it, and it's going to be nothing but a distraction for them.
Boomer, last year in Week 6, the Bears went to Miami after a bye and crapped a bet against Brock Osweiler. Then 35-year-old Frank Gore tore him up. They have 2 weeks before the Saints game, and they look like that. Is there a reason to be suspicious about their level of conditioning?
You know, it's hard to that's hard to say. I can't imagine that would be the case. You know, last year with Brock Osweiler and Frank Gore, that would be troubling to me. But at the end of the day, that's not what cost them last year. This year, the Saints are one of the best teams in the league. I actually had them as a preseason Super Bowl pick. And when Drew Brees went down, everybody was like, you still with them? I said, well, I can't change now. I got to stay with them. And they are a pretty damn good team. I'll tell you, Sean Payton's a great coach. He may be the other coach in the league that has the ability to get his players to stay off of social media, because a lot of his players don't get involved in that nonsense either. So I think Belichick and Peyton definitely have something there in terms of keeping their teams focused and winning, especially with backup players at key positions. But hey, look, man, it's frustrating. From a player's perspective, you're the only guys in that locker room that give a crap about each other. There are people trying to rip you apart on the outside, and to buy into any of that nonsense, unfortunately for those guys, is nothing but a distraction. What they need to do is they need to rally together. They need to take it out on the L.A. Chargers this week, which they can. They need to come away with a win, feel better about themselves, and Matt Nagy needs to get Mitch Trubisky 3 or 4 touchdown passes. That's the way you rebuild your team, and you try to get some of the confidence back, and hopefully that will be the case for them this week.
I know it's not just about the quarterback, but you are the expert on this subject. So two like logistical things from the game. Matt Nagy said Mitch kept hitting these throws in practice, and then when the game happened, his footwork fell apart and he was missing the throws. What does that
nerves.
Tell you?
That's nerves. It's 100% nerves. And he's just got to calm down. The game has got to calm down for him. You know, he's probably, dare I say the word, we had the word here, hit one of our quarterbacks in New York about 6 or 7 years ago. Jerry Reese, the general manager of the New York Giants, then said of Eli Manning, our quarterback is skittish. Skittish means he's nervous, he's panicking, he's not comfortable. That could be because he's wearing this harness on his left shoulder. He got hurt significantly. He can't run like he used to run because he's got to protect his shoulder. And his feet are not set when he's throwing the ball. And very few players in this league can get away doing that. I think Patrick Mahomes is one that I can think of. You know, and Mitch, part of Mitch's game is what Lamar Jackson's doing in Baltimore, although he's not as good an athlete as Lamar. The running part of it is a significant part of their big plays in Chicago. And I think with a hurt shoulder, that's probably not going to be as significant until he gets to be 100%, assuming he gets to be 100% at any point in time this year, which I doubt is going to happen. So right. They got to beat up on a lesser opponent this week, guys. It's the only thing I can tell you. They have to win against the Chargers, get their season back on track, and get a little confidence back, because right now their offensive confidence is definitely in the toilet. There's no question about that. And as a play caller, you really struggle to try to figure out the plays. I mean, it's frustrating if you're the coach. So there's a lot of issues there. There's no question about it. But that doesn't mean that they can't come out this week and bludgeon the LA Chargers. And they're going to have to do it starting with defense.
And then, all right, last thing, and you're right, they are going to have to beat the Chargers, and somehow they're a 5.5-point favorite against that terrible team.
I'm not touching that with the money you owe me.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to pay you. I know I'm a millennial and you don't have Venmo, but I got the cash
Dolphins,
in my pocket.
Dolphins, baby!
I'm gonna pay you. The headset goes out, Boomer, and it looked like there was some sort of like nuclear holocaust. Like they all panicked. Like yeah. Nagy's going, come over here, come over here. Mitch doesn't know what he's doing. They end up needing to burn a time. It's 3rd and 2. He's got the plays on his wrist. Is it unrealistic for me to expect that a third-year quarterback, second year in the system, it shouldn't be outright panic because the headset goes out for a play?
Well, you're talking to a guy, I don't know if you know my history, but you know, I'm a guy that ran a no-huddle offense at the line of scrimmage and knew all the plays, all the formation, all the personnel groups, all the checks, all the audibles, everything. That if something didn't go right from the sideline, I could handle it. It took me about 2 to 3 years to get into all of that. I mean, Mitch should be well-versed in this offense, that if there's a problem, they should be able to signal in the play or send the play in with somebody where he would know the formation. It's embarrassing to me that a lot of these quarterbacks wear these damn wristbands. It bothers me because I believe if you really, truly care and you love your team and you love your offense, then you're going to know it like the back of your hand. So I'll give him a little bit of a pass in the fact that he's still young. He's not, you know, he's not up there in his 5th, 6th, 7th, or 8th year yet. But the fact that they have to play with the wristbands on their arms, I think it just makes it too easy for them, and it takes them off the hook a little bit. So I do put a little bit of that on the coach and the expectations that the coach has for the quarterback. It's not all that difficult. There's a lot of things you got to know, and there's a lot of little nuances that go on during the game that the coach can help you with, especially with the coaches that are up in the box and have all their notes and everything open in front of them. But it's still up to the quarterback to have total responsibility and understanding of what he's trying to do on the field. So when something like that does happen, there isn't like a mass panic on the sideline, because mass panics lead to losing. And unfortunately, the Bears are in the midst of that right now.
Boomer, thank you very much. Great stuff. We'll talk after the Bears beat the Chargers.
Okay, guys, I'll talk to you next
week. Thanks,
Kenny
Boomer. See ya.
Thank you.
Stop thinking about next year, you idiots. They got 10 more games to play.
That was Boomer Esiason.
I needed to be told that.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.